You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to hear how consistency is the key to overnight success. Except there's no such thing as overnight success. So really, just consistency is key. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. This episode is excitedly sponsored by an awesome, fantastic organic medicine company that I love, Genexa. Oh wait, do you think I just mixed up my words? No, I didn't. I really said organic medicine company and Genexa, because that's the name of the organic medicine company. Genexa has a line of 11, one freaking better than the next, homeopathic medicines that work with your body to rid itself of anything from a cold to allergies to sleeplessness to stress to muscle pain to jet lag. And when I say they work with your body, I really mean it, for that's what homeopathic medicine is. It's medicine that utilizes plants, like passion flower in the case of Genexa's stress relief formula, to kind of remind our body of its ability to work properly. And in the case of the passion flower, that tells our mind to quiet down, and it triggers our nerves to chill the F out. Because Genexa's medicines don't have anything remotely close to a synthetic drug in them, yet they still work. I promise, their stress relief formula is literally a chill pill. But because they don't have anything toxic or terrible in them, there are zero side effects, which is sweet. Also sweet are their chewable pills that come in flavors such as vanilla lavender, grape, and acai berry. As a Party in My Plants listener, you can save a whopping 30% off of any Genexa product you want to buy off their site, genexahealth.com, using code PARTYPLANTS. And if this was just way too much to remember and you're now stressed and want to buy their stress relief formula, just go to the show notes, partyinmyplants.com/30, for all this info. Okay, so you might have seen today's guest, in your living room or in your bedroom or on your treadmill, if that's where you watch TV, because Erin Willett has been on TV quite a bit and in drastically different scenarios, but always playing herself. Okay, I'll stop beating around the bush here. Erin is an alumnus and a semifinalist of both The Voice and The Biggest Loser, making her one of the coolest and most courageous females around, with kick-ass vocals and kick-ass boxing skills to boot. Despite losing 87 pounds in one of the weirdest environments, the Biggest Loser Ranch, Erin has an incredibly grounded and inspiring approach to weight loss and health, as well as a bomb.com way to eat cauliflower. By the way, this is the first podcast episode I ever recorded for this podcast. I've been waiting to publish it for when The Biggest Loser came back on TV, but it never came back on TV, and it doesn't look like it's going to come back on TV, so I'm releasing it now. So if you're a regular listener of my podcast, you'll definitely hear that this was an early episode, but it'll be worth the 1,200,000 likes I say throughout it. And you know, if it makes it more fun, you can turn my likes into a drinking game. One sip of kombucha each time I say like. That's fun, right? Now let's like, there you go. Sip number one. Let's like play our convo. I am here in my home office with Erin Willett, this herself in the flesh, the beautiful flesh. Hi, Erin. Thanks Hi. For coming over.
Thanks for having me.
So I met Erin. It was insane. I went to a restaurant here in Brooklyn, and I was just sitting down having dinner, and I saw her at the bar, and I'm like, I know that person. And I could not place her for my life. I couldn't figure out. I'm like, but I know her. I know what her voice sounds like. Like, I know her mannerisms. Like, I know this person. How do I know her? How do I know her? Turns out she was on The Biggest Loser. And I'm obsessed with that show. And I watched her. And she was my favorite. She was such a beast on the show. We're the same age. And I was like, oh my God. And then I approached her because I'm shameless and fearless.
I loved it.
I kind of whispered. I was like, I know you. Because I didn't know if this was like a secret thing that like she didn't want people to know. So I'm like, no. We loved you. I'm the Biggest Loser. Aww. And it was really cute. And then we hit it off and now we're tight. Right.
And now, awesome. And you introduced me to my new favorite restaurant.
Yeah.
Urban Rustic in Brooklyn. Rustic.
So Erin is so cool. And you know, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. It's going to be very casual, so I hope you guys enjoy that flow. But to start off, she has not been on just one, but two reality shows. And I don't want to spend this entire time talking about reality TV, but let's spend a little time. So good. Give us a brief recap on your time on season 2 of The Voice.
Oh, yeah.
Where you were a semifinalist.
Yep, yep.
What?
Yeah. So in 2012, I was on Team Blake. The last on Team Blake, which was awesome. He was such a great coach. It was my first opportunity right out of college. I went to Hofstra University in Long Island, where I was put on a huge platform as a singer-songwriter. Played shows.
What's bigger?
I know, right? I played shows at Hofstra around campus. I had played shows in New York City. I had played, you know, in Maryland, but nothing to this capacity. And it was just such a great introduction to, great introduction to America as an artist, but also to the music industry and a lot of big players that are in it, you know, rubbing shoulders with Adam Levine, Christina Aguilera, producers who are backstage who work on the producers on The Voice don't just work on The Voice. They work on the VMAs. They work on the Grammys. They work, you know, the entertainment industry is incredibly small in a weird way. Mm. And so it was such a really great opportunity to introduce myself to that environment. And I moved to LA afterwards and got into a ton of great rooms, great writing sessions as a songwriter.
You have quite the voice. That is one thing I know for sure.
Yeah. I got to play great shows. It was such a great opportunity, and I'm so thankful for the road it's led me on since then. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it led to you being on The Biggest Loser.
Yeah, so weird enough.
What? Like, how did you get on that show? Because it wasn't intentional.
No, not at all. So, I guess it was 2015. I was at a baseball game with my mom and my brother, and I was drunk because that's what you do at baseball games, basically. And so I got an email from an executive producer who was looking for I got an email from a casting director who was looking for people who had been on reality TV, and they were looking for people to be on The Biggest Loser. And, you know, he had said in that email, you know, I'm sorry if you're not interested, but at that point in my life, I had kind of come to this awakening that something had to change in my life. You know, I had done The Voice and it was great. And I had lived in LA and had these great opportunities, but there was just something that I wasn't completely feeling whole about. And it was something that I was struggling with because I think I was trying to fake being happy. And it wasn't necessarily like something that I wanted to be mad at myself about, but it was just kind of this awakening of, let's work harder. Let's find opportunities. And so when I got the email at the baseball game, even though I was drunk, I emailed him back and I was like, I'd love to talk about the opportunity.
Oh, I am so excited to hear more about this. I did not know we'd be going into fake being happy. I mean, so curious. Don't tell us now. We're going to go through the journey, but I want to know eventually at the end of this conversation, are you real happy now?
Mm-hmm.
TBD.
Yeah.
So once
keep listening.
I know. Once you got to the ranch, as they call it, or the set, as normal people think of it, the ranch or whatever, did the weight just fly off? Like, what happened?
Oh. Yes and no. There were portions, if you guys watched the season 17 of The Biggest Loser, there were portions that my body was just trusting me in, and was great. And then there were portions of the show where it wasn't. And I thought, you know, I'm going to lose 6 pounds a week. This is basically, there were three weeks in a row that I lost 6 pounds. But I think it was more so just trusting my body and trusting that however long I was meant to be on the show was however long. Because it's a competition, which is weird. But
do you think about that when you're on the show? Like, is that a major component for you guys? Like, are you thinking about the money at the end and the status of being number one or whatever? Because it seems like the real prize, not to sound totally lame, is like getting your life back and being really happy.
Exactly. I think that that's a big thing that is emphasized while you're on the ranch. Like, there are two types of people that go on the show. It's like either people who want to win the show or people who want to change their lives. And there's
no overlap, are you suggesting?
I think there is, for sure. I mean, I'm competitive just innately. Yeah. And so I'm like, I want to stay on this ranch as long as possible. But truly, like, I want to stay on this ranch as long as possible because I know it's the best environment for me to lose weight, and I'm going to learn the most here.
Yeah.
And I've learned a lot while I've been in the real world, but being in an isolated environment where you don't have a cell phone, you don't have laptop, you don't have internet, you don't have TV, you really have to deal with yourself and your problems. And then on top of that, you also get to really focus on yourself.
Yeah, I didn't know that you didn't have phones and you didn't have, TV or anything. So it was just like you and yourself going through life.
Yeah, exactly. So, I read a lot of books, you know.
Oh, okay. You could bring books or just hang at the Kindle.
We could, this is so bad. If we had to get anything, like I had to buy a bra at one point.
You would sneak buying a book?
No, I wouldn't. I couldn't leave the ranch, the PAs. So PAs are like the production assistants who are basically like the bottom of the pole, totem pole. And they were the ones that had to like go out and buy stuff for us from Target. So I would be like, this 22-year-old boy, child, man thing would go to Target and like find me a bra when I had to like get a smaller.
Would you get like tampons if girls needed tampons?
Oh yeah. Like all the things. So it was interesting, but like, yeah. So I would be like, buy me a book that's by this author. Cause I know I like this author. Wow. Yeah. It's very, very interesting.
It's like you're on a deserted island.
Kind of.
I don't know. Kind of a combination.
Actually, Richard Hatch has been to jail and he said Biggest Loser was worse than jail.
No.
Because you could actually make phone calls in jail. Yeah.
OMG.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was definitely an experience.
Well, that's a really good segue into one of my questions, which is, so how did you get, how did you keep going when things got tough? Because, so you're living this real life. How long were you there for?
I was there from the beginning of September 2015 to the beginning of December. So
that's not that long.
4 months.
I guess that's long to like not talk to people and be in an isolated thing.
Yeah.
But for us, so we're seeing like a very small glimpse into what really happens. And so we don't know all the behind the scenes. We know stuff that's probably manufactured. Mm-hmm. And so behind the scenes, like, how did you keep going? Because, we just see the weigh-ins and we're like, oh, cool, she lost 6 pounds. Good for her. Yay.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like, it'd be easy to keep getting on the treadmill every day, but I'm sure it wasn't. So did you talk to yourself? Like, what was your motivation? Like, how did you do it?
Oh my gosh.
That's not too broad of a question, is it?
I think it's kind of at that point, I mean, it's a competition show, but you kind of don't really have a choice, I guess. And in a weird way, they would always, a lot of the coaches and, or I guess a lot of the trainers and anyone who was really on the production crew who inevitably became our friends and family, essentially, would just constantly remind us that, you guys might hate it right now because you don't have a TV and you don't have a phone and you can't call this person or whatever, and you're having a breakdown about whatever.
Yeah.
But you're never going to be able to have this experience again. You're never going to have the experience truly of being able to just deal with yourself and not have any outside noise. And so I think just reminding myself that, like, this too shall pass, like whether it's a feeling of overexhaustion or just over being on the ranch and being so isolated, but also knowing that this moment of being able to focus on myself will eventually pass, and I'll have to go back into the real world and deal with myself as well as, rent and, friends and all the pressures of the real world that I don't have on the ranch. So I guess trying to look at the glass half full, I always try to do that. Mm. And, and just realizing in a weird way how lucky I was to have the opportunity, because there's a lot of people who don't get the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, that's a huge aspect of The Biggest Loser. You know, this whole like cracking people open thing and dealing with yourself. And honestly, that's why I've always watched the show, because it's not about like watching people work out and fall off the treadmill and throw up. Like, that's not what, or it's
thank
sad.
You.
That makes me sad. And it's kind of feel like you're violating people's privacy when you're watching that kind of stuff. But I've always found it tremendous to watch people transform from the inside.
Yeah.
And the whole message of The Biggest Loser, well, maybe not the whole message, but the message that I choose to take away is that you have to change what's inside before you change what's outside.
Totally.
And
totally.
So how did that happen for you? And, you know, like, what, if you don't mind sharing, like, what was your root cause and how did it get cracked out of you?
Wow.
Is that too deep?
No, it's not
just
too deep
say
at
surface
all.
Surface level of it, if you want.
Well, I guess for me, it was always, I just always buried my own feelings inside because I didn't think that they were as important as everybody else. And we talked about it on the show, and I remember specifically talking with Sarah about it, if anybody remembers, the contestants from the show. She was on Team Jen, sweetest girl in the world. And we talked a lot about how a lot of the time, overweight people are people pleasers. You know, we want everybody else around us to be happy. We're the clowns, we're the jokesters, the jesters. We're the people that are trying to ignore our own problems to make everybody happy because we're hoping to find happiness through other people's appreciation for
us.
And so for me, I guess the strength that I started to find within myself was when I essentially was stuck on the ranch long enough that I was starting to get frustrated. And and I was pushing through a lot of boundaries that I probably never would have pushed through if I was home. So really sticking with something long enough to see results that I had never seen before. I think that's always been my problem when I tried to lose weight.
That's everybody's problem with anything.
It's I don't see the results I want to see when I see them. So I'm just going to give up because it's not going to happen.
So how do you push through that?
I guess it's just really the consistency is key.
Just trusting that it's going to come if you stay consistent.
Trusting that it's going to come if you stay consistent, but also knowing that, knowing that doing what's right for you is going to be a lot more fulfilling than just doing it for the results. Like, doing things that are going to fulfill you in a positive way and that you know are good for whatever path you're going down.
I think a perfect example of this is back in the episode when everyone got to choose between parasailing and a girl's day or whatever and a workout.
Mm-hmm.
And all the girls, correct me if I'm wrong, except for you,
went
to parasailing.
Yeah.
And you and Dolvette and the boys worked out. And I think that is exactly what you're talking about. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you chose to do what's better for long-term you.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like, parasailing, really cool. Looks really awesome. I also got to box in like a world-renowned gym. So, you know, it's once again, not even once again, I haven't really stated it, but it's truly about perspective. It really is. Mm-hmm. You know, these opportunities are going to come your way. Choices are going to come your way where you have to say, like, do I want the thing that's going to be better for me, or do I want something that's going to fulfill me like immediately?
Instant gratification.
Instant gratification.
So you would say the parasailing was more of an instant gratification.
Yeah, like, oh, wow, this is great. This is cool.
But then you land and then you land and you're like, you just have like an awkward photo.
Yeah. And you're like, I mean, it's an experience for sure, but they're both experiences. The Biggest Loser really emphasizes the idea of choices. And that's a huge thing for me, I think, for most of
for everyone, truly. And that's why, you know, like, whatever, reality TV or not, there is a lot of depth to this show. There are great messages. And this is not a podcast episode about, like, go Biggest Loser.
Yeah.
But it's just that, like, you're a personification of struggles that everybody deals with every day.
For
sure. That you overcame And it's amazing.
Well, and the other
and part... And you were vulnerable to do it in front of people.
Yeah. Well, and that was, I guess, kind of my extreme. I'm an all or nothing person, so going on this show and completely being vulnerable enough to, like, change, but really share my story and learning that now being able to inspire people through the honesty. I always looked at people that I've seen as successful as, I guess, kind of overnight successes and being able to go through the experience myself and realize that it's a constant, constant job to have to think about my choices and to make sure whatever path I want to stay on that or am on or goal that I want to achieve, I have to really choose wisely every step of the way instead of, you know, beforehand just having that instant gratification. Oh, well, I want to go out tonight. You know, I'm going to go get drunk and not think about it. Or now I want a piece of pizza, you know, and now it's okay. I'm craving a piece of pizza. You know, is this the right choice? What have I had today? You know,
I'm like lighting up right now. This is all that I preach. This is it right here.
It's
think before you eat. Food makes you feel stuff. It makes you look like stuff. Think about it before you eat. Don't just willy-nilly stuff into your face, but be kind about it. Don't be black and white. Don't be freaking out. Like what you were just saying, okay, I want pizza. What did I have earlier in the day? Mm-hmm. Like, can I have a slice tonight or is that going to like be out of control? You know, just think.
Is it really what I want? Right. Am I really hungry? You know, these are things that I never thought of before. And it's crazy to think. I also was very uneducated about food, really. I didn't know anything. And so being able to really use all of that knowledge, whether it's my awareness or really thinking about and problem solving with food or whatever.
Oh, I like that.
It's
problem solving.
Yeah. You know, it's not just I have a feeling, I'm going to act on it. It's I have a feeling. Let's analyze this feeling before we make a choice.
And it's not like you're not analyzing for like an hour.
Oh, no, right? No. It's just evaluation. Right? It's actually really a lot more fulfilling to be able to live this life where I can say, I stand behind a lot of my choices because I'm really thinking about the consequences.
That's
or
great.
What, you know, consequences kind of has a negative connotation, but whatever the results, the after thing.
Can you tell us what food was like on the show? Like, did they cook for you or like,
which is hilarious because a lot of people think that they cook.
Yeah.
For
I mean, because they don't show it. They literally don't show food.
So basically, the setup for the show is we have a kitchen in the house that
one kitchen everyone shares.
Yeah. It's like a chef's kitchen, though. It's incredible. All of the food that's in our kitchen is okayed by our nutritionist, Cheryl Forberg, who is awesome. She lives up in wine country. She has like her own garden, and we actually had Thanksgiving on the ranch, and she brought all of these vegetables her garden. It's beautiful. So other than it being approved by the nutritionist, basically after that step, it's like all up to us. I remember the first time we woke up on the ranch. I know it's crazy.
I don't understand that. Like, so do you have like one fridge that everybody shares?
Yes.
And you just go in, grab stuff and go for it.
Yep, exactly. So there's like, there's a dairy section in the fridge. I mean, okay. In a weird way, it's like a kitchen that is like a grocery store.
Right.
I guess. Because
not even like your kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. So there's like the grain section and then there's like the, there's the dairy area in the fridge. There's the meat area. You know, you get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's the vegetable.
But there's no processed food area.
There is definitely no processed food for sure.
No high fructose corn syrup.
Exactly. Like anything we requested or we had heard about or someone had something, we would always have to go through our nutritionist. Like, can we get this added to our list? And she would like be like, yes.
So is it very planty? Lots of plants?
Yes, lots of vegetables. I remember like, there was like 1 week where like, cause you know, our emotions are a little heightened. We're losing weight. We're exhausted. You know, we're in a different.
Yeah. You were complete strangers. Yeah, with no contact.
Exactly.
But
it's like real world mixed with weight loss camp. So it's craziness. Right. And we were like blowing through spinach. And again, nice. Because like people are using it for their smoothies, people are using it for their salads, people are cooking it as their sides.
That's great.
And like we were like, we need spinach now. We need almond milk. There was also a moment where like everyone kind of switched over to almond milk. And like wow. there would be these certain weeks where certain things would be more like we would go through more than others. And
so you had like a spinach week.
Oh yeah. And it would just be like, we would have a list of things we would ask for. So it would be like spinach parentheses, like buy a ton of it, you know, or whatever. So, yeah, it was great, but it is something that you, once again, I wanted to stay on the ranch as long as possible because I knew that I would learn more and more. And Cheryl would come in.
That's what I was going to say. Who's teaching you?
Yeah, Cheryl would come in and she would do like, kind of like a cooking show. Mm. You know, we would all sit in the kitchen and she would like cook us a meal. Oh, so she cool. would do like a veggie lasagna. And then through teaching us about the veggie lasagna, she could kind of integrate that into other things. Well, if you shred up this, you could use these vegetables in this way. Mm. Or, you know, let's do portobello head pizzas. Oh, and cool. you could also use the portobello as, you know, a meat substitute or a beef patty substitute yeah. on a burger. And kind of be able to touch on a lot of things while showing us how to cook one meal. But I do remember the first morning, all of us waking up on the ranch and like everyone just making like salads because no one knew what to do.
Oh my god, that is so perfect that you say that because that's what everybody thinks. Yeah,
just make a salad.
Just salad. Oh, yeah,
we all made salads. Oh, and but you learn throughout the process like what works for you. I personally love doing what's it called, like butter lettuce tacos. I love butter lettuce. I love tacos. Have you never done that before?
No.
Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh, you have to do salmon butter lettuce tacos are incredible.
That like, sounds so like good.
Cut up some salmon into little squares, bake them.
All right, we'll have to do that.
Oh my
sometime.
God, it's so good. Yeah, so doing things like that, I learned Brussels sprouts. There were all
you
these.
You learned Brussels sprouts?
I mean, I learned Brussels sprouts.
She
I
learned Brussels
you know,
sprouts.
We all learned a lot. And, that's great. And also, I mean, other than eating a lot more vegetables than I probably was used to, and kind of learning that I love vegetables a lot more mm-hmm. than I thought. You learn, you do mistakes, you make mistakes along the way. Or you kind of learn what works for your body. And you also kind of realize a great lesson that everybody's different and every body is different.
Literally.
And, you know, there was one girl that kind of did the blood type diet, which, you know, if you look up, there's different,
different foods that
different foods that work for different blood types and whatever. And for her, you know, it was more of a vegetarian-based diet, and she would eat cheese. Someone like me, I incorporated protein shakes and cheese into my diet, and it almost sent me home.
Wow!
And it just was one of those things where I had talked to Dolbet, and I think I actually talked to both Jen and Dolbet about it. It's like my body is just—it was younger than most people on the show. I could build muscle a lot faster. You know, it could be a lot of different things, but on the scale, which is what the show unfortunately is about, it didn't work for that. And so just kind of learning, like being more in touch with how different things affect you. And you know, now I don't really eat a lot of dairy. Because when I do, I can tell.
Well, that's another thing that you witness on the show as you guys are going through everything, that you start to kind of figure out that food has an effect on you. Like, they show a lot of people's befores.
Yeah.
I mean, the most dramatic one's usually where they're, like, eating, like, 12 pizzas at home. And obviously not even thinking about it. But then, like you just said, you realize, oh, wow, dairy doesn't do great things for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a wonderful lesson to learn.
Yeah. That's really cool. I mean, it's really cool for anyone to kind of realize and be very in touch with their body to be able to make the better choices for them. Because I still do it constantly. It's easy to compare yourself to others. Like, you can eat that and you can eat that and still look like that. Well, that's great for them. And they have their struggles and they have their own thing that they work through. And I'm still learning what's best for my body. So every day's a new lesson. And and I'm learning all about myself.
So what would you say had the most effect on your weight loss? Your diet, your movement, or your mindset?
Ooh, what a great question. I think the biggest thing that had an effect on my weight loss was my mindset. Because if you don't have the mindset, the diet and the movement aren't going to happen. I mean, if I put them in order, it would be mindset, diet, movement.
Wow. For sure. Interesting. Because all they show on the show is the exercise.
Which is funny, too, because anytime that I always tried to lose weight in the past, before the show, it was workout based. Mm-hmm. I was I'm going to go to the gym 5 times a week this week. And, you know, I would always, I personally.
You're going with number three.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. You can change your entire body with just your diet. It's actually
you're
magical.
You're talking to party my plants over here.
I love it.
So it's been just about a year since you've left the ranch.
I know.
AKA gym, AKA set. I mean, let's talk about present day. So what positive stuff have you really taken back from California with you back to Brooklyn here?
I think the biggest thing is consistency. I still kind of struggle with that balance, but realizing that when I need to keep it consistent, or when I would like to indulge, which many people like to call cheat.
I like your word indulge. Yeah. That's a better word.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, words carry weight to them.
Yes.
And when I used to think of like, oh, I want to have a cheat meal.
Ew, it was, cheat just sounds so icky.
I know, but once again, my crazy mindset is like, well, a cheat meal for me is a pizza. Like, not a slice of pizza, like a pizza.
I see, because cheat kind of sounds like balls to the walls, go all out, like, F it, let's do big.
Exactly. But for me, indulge is more like the best slice of pizza that I could get.
Right. I love that. Yeah. I feel the different energy with the word, and I visually see that too. Indulge makes me think a beautiful slice that you're cutting with a knife and drinking with a glass of red wine in a candlelit restaurant. Cheat sounds like you're just stuffing a pizza, a delivery like Domino's pizza.
And we're not going to count it, and we're not going to talk about it, and and it's not
didn't
real,
happen.
And it didn't happen. And
I'm just going to burn it off tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess
that's something he
that's
you brought
the whole
with
thing.
You.
That's what I guess the biggest thing I've brought back with me.
So, I mean, do you feel a lot of pressure nowadays to maintain your weight loss? If I were in your shoes, I would feel very pressured.
Right.
Everyone's looking at me and questioning whether I put on weight. And because I have seen on your Instagram people, like you posted a great photo in a bikini the other day. And someone posted, or in a bathing suit, someone posted like, you still look great or something.
Yeah.
People were like looking at that. And I'm sorry that that is there because we have enough pressure on ourselves to maintain what we want. But like, how do you deal with that?
It's a constant struggle. I will say it is something that I have struggled with, especially right after the show. It was like this idea that I was 151 at finale and this is the weight that I have to be, knowing that 151 on my 5'8" frame, you know, that's pretty muscular, was a feat in itself. You know, I was working out 3 to 4 hours a day. I was eating.
You missed my jaw just dropped, but it dropped all the way.
I mean,
to the
it
floor.
Was
what? On the ranch or like after when you were trying to go to the finale or just like
both? Both on the ranch was probably a little bit more. And when I say 3 to 4 hours, it's not like I'm like lifting weights for 3 to 4 hours or like sprinting for 3 to 4 hours. There were moderate things like hikes and just
like
movement.
Stretching maybe.
Exactly.
Hopefully.
I basically committed my life to finale and getting to the lowest weight that I could in a healthy way. And afterwards, you know, I have put on some
Everybody
weight.
Everybody does after, and, but I'm sure it's so hard.
And it's kind of a mental struggle that I still deal with, and I'm trying to evaluate and holding myself accountable, because there's like the idea like, okay, 151 wasn't an ideal for my body and myself. Like I knew that going in, but then there's also this idea that, well, I'm not the lowest weight I've ever been before. Like, is this okay? Is eating a whole pizza, like, trust me, since finale, I've eaten a whole pizza. I've eaten a lot of ice cream. Like, I've done things that maybe aren't necessarily held to the standards of Biggest Loser.
But she still looks great.
Thank you. And I'm trying to find, once again, that balance of what's going to work for me and isn't the extreme of I can't have anything. And then when I do have something that I want, it's like
balls to the
walls. Balls to the walls, 3-day binge, yeah. Crazy. I'm trying to figure out where my body wants to be. Of course, I would love to have abs and be able to fit into a size 6 at all. Like, that was really cool. I remember putting on a size 4 at Zara and being like, whoa, like, this is a moment. But the real voice in my head is like, this is a temporary thing. This is an extreme situation. I'm on a show.
Right.
So,
is that your voice saying like, Erin, you can't do this in the real world? Or do you think that voice was like, it's too much to maintain this? Like, this isn't natural.
Realistic.
This
yeah.
doesn't feel good. The work is just not worth it. Like, to put on a size 4 jeans just isn't worth it.
Yeah.
Is that, you think, the voice? Not
exactly.
Like a self-doubt voice, like, it's a truth voice.
Like, it's, I guess it's the truth voice of saying, like, I could do this. I could do this if that was my goal, to fit into a size 4. But I don't want my worth to be dependent on a size, number one.
Yeah.
But also, like, I'm at an age and at a point in my life where I want to be able to have fun. And I don't want to have to set extreme boundaries for myself to be able to experience things. You know, when I was preparing for finale, I didn't really drink any alcohol. And not to say that you have to have alcohol to have fun, but I'd love to have a glass of wine yeah. here and there. You know, I like to go out with my friends. I like to be able to say, oh, you guys are going to that restaurant, I'm going to come too.
Yeah.
Instead of like, oh, I'll pass because I can't eat anything there.
Right.
Or, you know, I
my whole brand is surrounds the concept that healthy should not come in the way of happy.
Yeah.
That those two can be mutually, well, not mutually, they don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to choose one or the other. That's my entire belief system. Because I was exactly where you were. Well, not exactly at all where you were, but I was in the mindset of, I can't do things because of my diet.
Yeah.
You know, but mine was more that I was an extreme, like, vegan at the time. So I was like, oh, I can't eat anything anywhere. But that was miserable. And I would much rather be happy than miserable at home, like, dehydrating kale chips because, like, I can't go out to a restaurant.
Yeah. So. And I mean, everybody is going to find what works for them in the stance of what effort they put into the results that they see.
Right.
And for me, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, where my body is. I struggle sometimes. You know, I posted, I had to go shopping for clothes because I didn't have any summer clothes like a few months ago. I went to the store and I was probably 8 pounds lighter than I am now. And I fit in clothes anywhere between a size 6 and a 12, anywhere between a size small and a large. Like, it's,
wow.
And it was kind of a moment for me. And I try to remind myself a lot of the times about it because I do, as a girl growing up in this day and age in this culture, put my worth on the size of my pants and the number on the scale. And, you know, sometimes I still do. I stepped on the scale this morning and I didn't like the number after I went on a run. And it's like, is that really going to break my day down? Is
I hope
that
not.
No, it's Did not
it?
Because
you seem
it's
happy.
I still get to have a great day where I went to work. I got to see my coworkers. I love my job. I'm getting to speak with you and being able to do this podcast. Like, I fill my day with great things, and hopefully I'll get to go out to, I want to go to dinner. I was saying earlier,
yeah.
I want to go to a nice dinner and have a glass of wine. That's what I want to do. And that number, yes, in the past could have affected everything else in succession of my day, but I'm not going.
That's the mindset shift.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about work for a sec because you work in a restaurant.
Yes.
Like, are you kidding me right now?
Oh,
like,
my gosh. Yeah.
What? I've worked in many restaurants and I have struggled big time to not be noshing behind the scenes my entire shift.
Oh, yes.
How, like, wow. Talk about, you jumped right back from the ranch. I keep saying ranch in air quotes because it just sounds silly to say.
I know. I say it all the time. Yeah.
To restaurant.
Yeah.
How do you not eat the entire shift? How do you, what do you, talk to me.
So.
How do you do this?
That is a daily struggle.
Yeah.
I literally put myself in like a very hard environment. My schedule now, I travel a lot. I've been doing a lot of gym openings with Planet Fitness and just doing a lot of different stuff. Mm-hmm. And
you like the flexible
I
job.
I love the flexibility.
Yeah.
I love being behind a bar. I love meeting people. And I struggled with it because I was like, is this the life plan that I want, to be a bartender? No, it's not going to be something I want forever. But with my lifestyle right now where I need flexibility, it's a great option for me. I make great money. I work with great people. I work in a great area. I love the people that come into my job. So behind the scenes, the question that you asked,
told you food, she likes to talk.
It was very hard at first. At first I can't touch anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be in the back. I'm not going to run food. And slowly that started to progress. And I kind of have to kind of check myself a lot of the time. And I'm very big on bringing snacks with me.
That's great.
And being prepared in that way.
What do you bring?
I bring RX bars. I love RX bars.
What's your favorite flavor?
Peanut butter and almond butter and all of that.
That's dangerous.
It is dangerous.
That's a slippery slope.
But it's delicious. But it's good. So I'll bring snacks. If I am really good, I'll pack food. Mm-hmm. But I try to be as educated as I can with my menu. I also just love servers that when I go out to restaurants that are very educated with their menu, because at the end of the day, I am paying for the food that I am putting in my body, and this is the only body that I have. So I love when people ask me questions. They're like, I'm so sorry, but can I do this to my burger? And can I do,
thank you for saying that.
Of course you can. Oh, like, this is your meal. Like,
cause I am that person. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Like, usually I'm either the last. I like to be the first because I like to just get it out of the way.
Yeah.
But then I just have like 30 requests. Have to say please a lot. And smile.
Yeah. And I mean, if somebody doesn't like that, then whatever. Like, they don't love their job the way I do. And I feel they shouldn't work there. But anyway, I personally, especially being able to go through this experience and still wanting to go out to restaurants. Yeah. I still love being served. I still love giving you 20 to 25% tip. Like, you know, I will give you all my money. I just, at the end of the day, I want to know what I'm putting in my body.
Right.
So being educated about my menu lets me make choices that if I am hungry, I can pick things from my menu that I don't want to say I'm allowed to eat, but are good choices.
That you approve.
That I approve for my body.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So how big of a role do plants play in your life these days?
I love plants. I love plants.
I'm not telling her to say this. I am shaking my head yes and no and have a knife to her neck. But
I mean, plants are great. That's one of the biggest things when people ask me, they go, how do you lose so much weight? And I'm like, well, it's a very complex question that you just asked. I mean, it's only like 5 words, but one of the things I say is I ate so many more vegetables than I ever did in my life.
Wow. I'm so pleased to hear that.
I really did. And I think vegetables are such an underrated food item. Like, the fact that I now can have a vegetable dinner, like, have only vegetables.
Like, what? Tell us what you have.
One of my go-tos is buffalo cauliflower. Love buffalo cauliflower. I'll have that for dinner.
How do you make it?
If I'm being really lazy and I want it, like, right now, I'll take the head and I'll make them tiny, tiny little pieces and I'll just saute them and then put buffalo sauce on top, like a drizzle. Or if I'm being fancy, I'll bake them.
Sounds great.
But usually I'm a top of the oven type person. I'm a sauteer, if you will. You know, I also love doing veggie tacos. Mm. So I'll like slice up some onions, some mushrooms, some peppers, like whatever I have. And I'll just throw that in like a corn tortilla or sometimes butter lettuce. Throw some hummus on there.
Yeah,
I freaking love buffalo sauce, so I'll throw buffalo sauce at it. Yeah.
All right, cool. And what's your current favorite form of exercise? Or like, what does your exercise look like these days? Because you've probably tried everything on the ranch. I mean, you did boxing.
Did boxing, yoga.
Didn't you do swimming?
We swam a lot. We did a, one dark day,
that mean
dark not, day not is like not filming day.
Were those like a different vibe?
Yes, you got to work out a lot more. You got to kind of be, because when you're filming, as much as like we're working out on the show, there are a lot of times where we have to do interviews, we have to get pulled for wardrobe.
Yeah, do they just like pull you when you're just like in the middle of like a mile on the treadmill? They're like, yo, come here, talk.
yeah totally, basically. I love running. My mom was a runner before the show and it always inspired me to run. And it also now is like a big way that I can kind of just meditate. I like to have that moment with myself. And, you know, once again, putting myself first, you know, people pleasing is important. I mean, not important, but it's a part of your life and being able to, you know, be with other people, but also being with yourself and being happy in those moments of meditation. I just did my first half marathon.
Wow.
Yeah, which was awesome. I did the Rock and Roll Half Marathon in Brooklyn.
Wow.
I almost was going to die at mile 8, but I kept going.
Amazing.
It was such a cool experience.
Congrats.
Yeah, that's so amazing. I'm probably going to sign up for something again just to always have something in my trajectory.
I've never done a race. I usually just run for pleasure, and I thought it would add more pressure.
No. I don't think so.
Maybe I'll sign up with you for the next one.
Yeah. No, it would be awesome. I just think that there's so much adrenaline. It's so fun. It's really nice to be around people that are going for the same goal. We just want to get to the damn end of this race.
And it's not really competition.
No, not really. I mean, unless you're like super, super fast people crazy. Yeah. I'm not up there.
So you run, and I know you do yoga too.
I do hot yoga. That's also a great meditation.
So you're big on the mindset.
It's all about like my workout time is like my time.
So, okay, I don't want to wrap this up without mentioning that you sing. She sings really well. So I'm curious how this whole experience of getting healthier, smaller, fitter, and more confident has helped you sing. Has it improved that at all?
I think it's affected my breathing, I will say. Being able to, I don't know, breathe better. Singing is half like your lung capacity.
Yeah.
It's like, that's
especially
a big
the way
part
you
of
sing.
It.
You belt.
Yeah. I grew up listening to like Christina Aguilera, Whitney Houston. There was this girl, Martita, that sang in my church that like sang with this big voice. And I always, you know, big ups to the
She's
small people, you know,
voice,
it's just like something that I always appreciated. And so, yeah, being able to breathe better. And then just as a performer, I guess, confidence, knowing that the love for the music is enough. I feel like I was always so success based and I still struggle with that, with my weight and with, you know, trying to do things in the entertainment industry and really just coming back to like what's good for me and the love that I have for myself now and doing what's best for me professionally in that way as well.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Where can people hear you sing?
Well, I'm trying. I used to do a open mic at Umami Burger in Williamsburg, and I'm trying to be able to bring that back. So hopefully that'll come soon. If you see anything, it will be on my website, erinwillett.com. I also have my blog up there, which kind of just gives an update, and hopefully I will be releasing a new single that I'm working on soon. Probably not until next year, but it's coming. It's definitely being worked on for
That's
sure.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so some random quickie reality TV questions because I can. You have been on 2 reality TV shows.
Because I can.
Yeah. Okay, ready? Boom. 1. Do you have a favorite behind the scenes memory of being on the ranch? Like, is there something so funny that we didn't see?
I don't know what episode it was. It's the night that
– It's really okay.
The night that there was a girls' night and a guys' night and we both went out.
Oh, didn't you all get like tattoo or
piercings? We girls got piercings. The boys went out and it was Colby's birthday or like around Colby's birthday. So at that point, we hadn't drank alcohol at all, and we knew we were going out, but the producers weren't giving us like much information, and so we stole one of the phones, one of the PA phones, because once again, we don't have cell phones, and we called Jen, and we're like, what if we can drink alcohol? Like, what kind of alcohol can we have?
And she really means make us drink it, because it's a TV show, reality TV.
They didn't make us do anything, but. She was like, you can drink, or like the best option would be vodka or gin with soda water. And we're like, okay, great. Bye. So we ended up going, the girls went to Biso, the guys went to some, I don't know, like place in North Hollywood. And us girls, like, we were so scared because we're counting like every calorie. Mm. And so we're like, we'll have shots. And we just had vodka shots. Like, I think I had three. I was tanked off of three shots. Like,
yeah.
Like,
okay. I would be tanked off of three shots, but also you hadn't been
drinking.
You hadn't been eating much. You've been exercising. Like
exactly.
Crazy.
And so us girls are like, do you think the boys are going to be drunk? Like, whatever. So we get home, I think before the boys, and like, we're just like sitting around and we're like eating Skinny Pop and we're like, oh my God, we're so drunk. Like, what if we have a really early morning tomorrow? Like, what's going to happen? Blah, blah, blah. And then the boys walk through the door and there's this hallway that they have to come down and they're just like, hey guys. And basically we just ended up, everybody is drunk.
Oh,
and
like, God.
And they're not filming this because, you know, they cut the cameras. They should film it. They should have, I know, but we're all just like sitting on the counters. Like, what did you guys do? Oh, you guys got piercings. Oh my God. Your mom's going to kill you. Like, blah, blah, blah.
Oh my God.
But it was just, it was a really fun time. It was a really fun night where we kind of were just having fun because there were a lot of competitive people on the show. Yeah. I'm so competitive, but that night was kind of just special in its little moment of us all just being like, what if the boys don't drink and we drank and we drank, you know?
That sounds really fun.
Yeah. But
That's cute.
Yeah. That was a fun little moment.
That's cool. We don't see that stuff. So are the trainers as smoking in person as they look on TV?
Oh, yes, totally.
And Blake Shelton and Adam Levine.
Yes. I actually think Blake Shelton's more attractive in person. Mm. And Adam. I never thought that that sounds so horrible. But like, I never was like, oh, Adam Levine. And then I saw him in person. I was like, oh, okay, I get it.
Wow. Okay. So you've hung out with some hotties.
Yeah. I've definitely hung. There are some people that to me, I like when I see him in person, it's just like, or maybe I guess you're around their aura.
I bet Dolvet has a really good aura.
Oh, yeah. He's a cool guy.
Nice guy.
He's a sweet guy.
Yeah.
Sweet guy. Really fun. I love when Dolvet is not like Sergeant Dolvet. And he, you know, when we would work out on dark days, once again, when we're not filming, and it was just really fun. He would bring in a speaker. His son would come in who I think he's like 18 now or something, and he would work out with us.
Oh, that's so nice.
And we would like listen to music, and it was just really fun. I remember the first time I heard Becky G's Sweat was on the Biggest Loser Ranch.
Is that
a
song?
Yeah, it's like, make it sweat, make it sweat.
Well, that sounds appropriate.
It's a great workout song. If you ever want a great workout song, Becky G's Sweat.
Putting it in the show notes, guys.
Yeah.
I just need to preface that I'm not a big reality TV watcher. I just have always had a thing for The Biggest Loser. And again, it's because of the emotional transformation. And it's just such an honor to be able to talk to Aaron right now.
Oh, thank you.
You admire somebody from afar who's changed their life and been so vulnerable and willing almost. I mean, I know you did it for yourself first, obviously. But through your story, other people can improve their own lives. So it's amazing that you sacrifice yourself for other people as
Thank
well.
You. And it's fulfilling as
yes.
well.
So I'm wondering, last reality TV quickie question is what it was like watching it back.
Ooh. Some of it was really hard because I had changed so much, and looking back on it, it was like, whoa, I think I was in a deeper place, like deeper, darker place than I really thought I was, I guess.
Like watching it back, being like, watching it back, that was like a sad person.
Yeah. Like watching it back, being like, wow, I was really trying to fake having it together. And I mean, I still don't have it together, but I guess I'm more aware.
God damn, go back on the show.
I know, but I mean, I think it's the reality of our world right now. Like I love reality TV. I love pop culture. That's fitting. Love it all. And I think it heavily affected how I viewed myself because I feel like, once again, these people, you think they're overnight successes. You think they have it all together. They portray themselves as having it together. And in reality, they're just a person trying to get through life. And so I wanted to aspire to be like that. But now, knowing what I know now, and just being honest with myself, it's like the vulnerability of saying, I don't know, and I'm okay with that. But that gives me the opportunity to find something, to be curious and look for the answer or look for something in that.
Well, what's amazing about that is that for so many people, I assume you are that vision of, oh, this girl went on The Voice and has the dream life now. And this girl went on The Biggest Loser and now has a dream life. And so it's so... It's like this crazy universe where you've thought that about other people.
Yeah.
And now you're kind of leading by example by showing that there is still a journey. That you don't, it's not about overnight success.
Exactly.
Not even for somebody who's been on The Voice, semi-finalist.
Yeah.
Like you still, you know, we all work towards what we want in life.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you get what looks like maybe a shortcut by getting on a show like that, there's still work to be done.
Yeah. There's always work to be done. And I think that before I probably would get overwhelmed by that statement, and now I get excited about that statement.
All right. So finally, a few more questions, and I know we've gone on forever, but do you have a favorite plant party restaurant?
Does it have to be only vegetarian?
No, just like food that great plant
That's
food.
That's really good. I mean, I love Urban Rustic. I love Urban Rustic. Oh my God.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
When Aaron and I went on our first date, it was to Urban Rustic.
And it was delicious. And I literally go there. Probably go there once a week, wow, at least.
That's so cool. What's your favorite plant party dish at it?
The Roosevelt Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
It's red quinoa, salmon, tomato, kale, and avocado.
That sounds amazing. Do you have a favorite book that has inspired you in a really big way?
Yes. Oh, that's funny. I said yes. Shonda Rhimes' Year of Yes.
I've been wanting to read that. It's worth it.
Yeah. And I actually gave it to my roommate and he commented last night. He was like, I've been reading it and I really, really love it. And it was really nice to see a man be appreciative of a book like that. Because she talks about being a woman a lot and whatever. But
it sounds like a good book for you based on what you're saying on this conversation.
It's an incredible book because I think the perspective Shonda has on life is very real.
She's someone that would also look like an overnight success.
Yeah. And she talks about kind of the reality of her daily struggle and just trying to outdo herself sometimes. Or, you know, she talks about asking for help. And sometimes we're too scared to ask for help and our egos get in the way. And sometimes you just have to be like, you know what? I'm only one person, you know? No, not everyone can be Beyonce. And even Beyonce has a team. Like, yeah. I think she says that somewhere
That's
in the book.
Funny.
But it's a great book.
Cool. I'll have to read that. Do you have a favorite plant to eat?
To eat? Brussels sprouts.
And your favorite way to eat them? Just roasted?
Yeah, just roasted.
Awesome. And I mean, I guess overall I'm wondering – if somebody's listening to this and they're saying, all right, Erin definitely had an advantage. She got handpicked to go onto this show that she would have unlimited access to trainers and a fully stocked kitchen, didn't have to worry about any of life stressors. Like, lucky her, but what about me? How do I change my life in my real world right now?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to them if they're feeling that it's not doable, that making changes, becoming a better version of themselves isn't doable in their current situation? How would you say, listen, you don't have to go on The Biggest Loser to change your life. Here's how you can do it at home.
Yeah.
Go. No pressure.
Oh, man. That's a big question.
Well, because you're still working on it now and you're not on The Biggest Loser.
Yeah. I guess my whole thing is like, and I do this, I practice this, and I hope that it makes things a little bit simpler, or puts things in a better perspective, is just being able to take one choice at a time.
I love that.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be a whole, I want to lose 50 pounds. Like, I have to lose the first pound to lose 50. And
I love that. Yeah. It's so true. And it's, I guess it's just hard when people don't see the progress, but you have to, like, we started this entire conversation with, you have to trust that it's going to come.
Yeah.
You have to make those positive choices.
I sometimes think about my journey on the ranch, and I think about that first day waking up and being like, all of us waking up and making salads, you know?
So it's
like
such a funny scene.
But we didn't know.
Yeah.
And you kind of just, you're going with all that you know, and along the journey, you learn things about yourselves. And I feel like this message is starting to come out a lot more, that making mistakes is where you learn. And we're always so scared to make mistakes because we want to do it right the first time. Looking at the big picture and, you know, once again, if it's about weight loss for you, thinking about 50 pounds, well, 50 pounds isn't doable. But 1 pound is.
Yeah.
And just taking that 1 pound 50 times.
Right.
Well, that adds up.
And, you know, on the ranch, you had to make choices.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. If I could boil all this down and thinking as you're talking, just because you had trainers there and a kitchen that was stocked doesn't mean you didn't have to make these choices that you're saying we all have to do in our own lives.
Yeah.
You had the choice to eat all the food in the house at any given moment, and you chose not to.
Yeah.
You know, you still had to, you could have chosen, I feel like there's been scenes on the show where like someone's like, I'm not working out today, or like, I'm going to half-ass it today, or like whatever. Mm-hmm. You still had to make a choice to get out of bed. Mm-hmm. They would have let you stay in bed because that would have made really good TV.
Yeah.
And there
probably were some people that would have chosen, that would have done that.
Yeah. So everyone, we're all making choices no matter what our circumstances are.
Yeah.
So it's about choices, thinking about how you feel.
For sure.
And Erin's awesome. And where can we find you if people want to get in touch and watch your journey and listen to your voice?
Yeah. Everything is on erinwillett.com. So my blog's up there. My music's up there. Any of my links to my social medias are going to be at the footer.
Social medias?
Social medias? Is that a word?
I don't know.
Social medias, you know?
It's two L's and two T's.
Yes, ma'am, it is. That is how you spell my name. Yeah. And you can find me. I'm pretty active on the Instagrams.
You might find her walking around Brooklyn like I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Or running into each other
on
the side of the street.
All right. Well, thank you so, so much.
Of
really,
course.
From the bottom of my heart, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Yay. It's been awesome chatting.
Okay. Hopefully. We're going to turn off the mics. We'll probably keep talking. doesn't stop. But we're going to turn off the mics now. So
I talk so much.
She's happy. So thanks for listening. And thanks for coming on the show. You made it. Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope you're feeling wildly empowered to prioritize the thing that big picture is better for you versus the thing that's just going to give you some instant gratification, right? I mean, if Erin can do it, you can do it too. I'll bet Erin really could have used Genexa's Arnica muscle pain relief medicine while she was busting her butt working out hours upon hours on the Biggest Loser ranch. And Genexa's stress relief formula probably could have helped her deal with the stress of, oh, I don't know, getting on a scale in a sports bra in front of like 7.5 million Americans. But the good news for you is that you can get Genexa's awesome organic medicines for 30% off at genexahealth.com. That's Genexa, G-E-N-E-X-A, health.com. And use code PARTYPLANTS at checkout. And you can find all the show notes from this episode, plus videos of Erin singing, plus all the information on Genexa's amazing organic medicine, plus you can leave how many sips of kombucha you took during this episode, and you'll find so much more that just takes the hell out of healthy living, all at partyinmyplants.com/30.